Well, good morning. Oh, powerful worship this morning. God's here in this place, and I hope that you sense his presence. I hope this morning, as we go to his word in a moment, that you're ready to open your heart to him. How's 2019 been so far? Good. Well, mixed feelings. A little bit. Some of us are already struggling with our diets a little bit. Mine lasted 3 hours into the new year, and so before we kind of mess things up. But, you know, anytime we come to a new year, we're always looking forward. But for just a moment, I want us to think back about 2018. You got any regrets? I saw this video on YouTube. I want you to watch this morning.
Time I wasted, not saying yes to things.
It's something I've always wanted to do since I was little.
Time slipping away, I mean, that's probably the worst feeling in the world, right?
Loads of friends from different walks of life, and it's really hard to keep in touch with everyone.
Up until recently, I was homeless. If I hadn't hurt the people that I had, maybe I wouldn't have been.
I wanted to do so many things, but I can never seem to find the time.
I did all the things that were like plan B. I just never did it.
The knots of our lives. With so many people in a room like this, there's probably a lot of different regrets that if we went around the room and told what our biggest regret was of our life, there'd probably be a lot of knots. Even last year, there may be some things that we planned on starting, things that we wanted to get engaged in, but we didn't do it. And so we have regrets. Regrets tend to be about, for you and I, about opportunities not seized, about chances not taken. Tend to be about words that are not spoken, commitments that we didn't keep, decisions that we didn't make. And often we look back and you can see the road you've been on and you start to thinking like, how did I get here? How did I end up in this place? I planned to be somewhere else. I planned to be doing something different. I planned to be different, but here I am in this place. I need to turn around. I need a turnabout so that I can avoid the regrets that we have. A turnabout, according to the dictionary, is a change or a reversal of direction, trend, policy, role, or character. And I wonder this morning, is there somewhere in your life where you need a turnabout? Is there something about you that needs a turnabout? Is there something in your marriage that needs a turnabout? Maybe there's a relationship in your life, a friendship. Maybe it's your finances this morning that need a turnabout. Maybe it's just about your soul. You're just so unsettled and you don't know what to do and you're striving and you're tired and you're weary and you're thinking, you know what, this morning, I need a turnabout. I've been looking at God's word to see, is there something we can learn about seizing opportunities so that we don't have regrets, so that we don't have the knots in our life? And in Luke chapter 5, the earthly ministry of Jesus is just beginning. He's already developed this reputation as a teacher and a preacher, and crowds are coming to see him. He's not called his disciples yet. He'll do that, some of that, at the end of this story that I'm about to share with you. But he's preaching one day by the water's edge, and it says in Luke 5, 2 and 3, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. This is Peter. He's not Peter yet, but he will be Peter. His name's Simon. And he asked him to put out a little bit from shore. These fishermen have been fishing all night. They're cleaning their nets. They're putting away their gear. They're going home. They're calling it a day. They didn't get anything. You know how frustrating that is to work hard and not get anything? And so they're headed home. And Jesus jumps into a boat that belongs to Simon Peter. And he says, hey, could you push out a little bit from the shore? So Peter obliges him and pushes him out so that Jesus can teach. And Jesus teaches the people after Peter accommodates him. And then we read in verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let the nets down for a catch. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a position where you know something really well. Maybe you're an expert on something, and somebody comes along and who knows nothing about what you do, and they tell you what you should do. If you haven't experienced that, become a pastor. But most of us, right, we have expertise. We have things that we know. I remember when we were down in the Dominican Republic, I'm not telling Sean anything about concrete because Sean knows concrete, right? But when somebody does that and they sort of step out of line and they sort of step, you know, out of the box and begin to tell you about something that you know really well that you're an expert at, we can get quite defensive about it, right? And I think that's probably some of what's happening to Peter. He's like, who are you to tell me? We fished all night. And it says that Simon in verse 5 answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. You know, come on, Jesus, stay in your lane, buddy. I'll leave the preaching and the teaching to you, but you leave the fishing to me because I've been doing this a long time. You know, don't mess with me, Jesus, about this. We do that sometimes, don't we? I like you, Jesus, but really, really, I know her better than you do. Jesus, I love to hear what you have to say of your word and the things that you do in my life, but really, don't interfere with my love life. Don't interfere with my raising my kids. I know my kids really well. I know my parents really well. Don't interfere in my entertainment choices. Hey, don't mess with my money, Jesus. I know money. I know my money. So stay in your lane. I think Peter, he says this to him. You guys are going to have to slow down on the PowerPoint for me, okay? You're driving me too hard. I got to work at least 30 minutes this morning, okay? It says, teacher, we've worked all night, and we haven't caught anything. And I think he leaves that sort of hanging there like a pause. Like he's saying, oh, yeah, okay. You know, like maybe Jesus, if I tell him that, if I like go, come on, Jesus, we've done this already. He might go, you know what? You know what? You're right, Peter. You guys have worked hard all night. You didn't catch anything. You got to be exhausted. Why don't you go on home? But Jesus didn't give him any relief. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, it says in verses 6 and 7, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. I can't imagine how these guys felt, fishing all night and coming up with nothing. And now all of a sudden, Jesus tells them to push out into deep water and they throw their nets out and they're catching all these fish to feed their family, to meet their needs, this is going to be a fishing story to tell for the rest of their lives. They're celebrating and they're high-fiving. It's huge. And so they're at a they're at this point of discouragement, but Jesus steps into the boat and all of a sudden things change. And that's one of the things I want you to catch. You know, unless you've gone through a night of disappointment, the deliverance that Jesus brought wouldn't have really meant that much. If Jesus would have done this at the first of the evening, you know, without them trying, they might have just thought, well, they got lucky. You know, Jesus kind of got, yeah, well, I bet there were a lot of fish out here anyway. But no. They've gone through a whole night. They've gone through a whole night of trying. And because they had this disappointment, because they had tried everything that they knew to catch fish and they hadn't been successful, when Jesus steps in and he says to throw their nets over and to pull those fish onto that boat, it's an incredible miracle. Because they went through in discouragement, they were in the right place where they were willing to try anything, where they were willing to do whatever he said. They'd attempted everything that they could and it hadn't worked out, but now Jesus comes in the boat and he makes all the difference. I think this kind of becomes a theme in Peter's life. This time doesn't have to be like the last time. This time can be different. And I think that's a message that we all need to hear as we think about a new year. So we think about our past and regrets, is that, you know what? This year doesn't have to be like last year. Things don't have to be the same. Time and time again, right? You've tried time and time again. You've thrown your nets over in your marriage. Time and time again, you've thrown your nets over for your finances. Time and time again, even with God, you've thrown your nets over, trying and trying and trying to be good and trying to do the best and trying to make it work. And it hadn't. It hadn't worked. And so here you are. Jesus says, one more time. One more time. While I'm in the boat, this time doesn't have to be like last time. And it's really hard for us. You know, for a lot of us, we're, there may be situations in your life. It may be in your marriage. It may be in your finances. It may be in your career, your job. It may be, you know, in your relationship with God, you're ready to clean the nets and go home because you tried. You did everything you knew to do. And you're tired. And you're just ready to quit, to give up, to pull the boats on shore and start cleaning the nets. When we could be one experience away from God changing things in our lives. But we let what happened last time keep us from throwing over the nets one more time. And I think if Peter were here today, you know what he'd tell us? He'd say, hey, this time with Jesus doesn't have to be like last time. I mean, that's the difference, right? Jesus is in the boat. See, it's still Peter. It's still the same boats. It's still the same body of water. It's still the same nets. It's the same lake. If anything, it's worse conditions because now it's morning. They fished at night in the cool of the evening. That was the better. Everybody knew that's when you fish. You don't fish when the sun has come up and the waters begin to warm. It's pointless to go out then. But that's when Jesus said to push out. Everything's the same, but the only difference is Jesus is in the boat. Was Jesus in your boat this year? Was he in the middle of that regret that you had, that thing you didn't do, that thing that you said not? Was he leading and guiding and directing? And so maybe in 2018 you failed. Maybe in 2018 things didn't work out, but was Jesus in the boat with you? Were you leading Jesus or was he leading you? There's a big difference. A lot of us want Jesus in the boat. We just want to hang on to the rudder. A lot of us will let Jesus in the car. We just don't want to give him the steering wheel. Jesus says, go out into the deep, cast your nets. And Peter says, you know what, God, I've been working all night. I don't think it's a good idea. If you ask me, my expertise tells me this isn't going to work. If I was in charge, this isn't, I want to go on record as saying that this is not a good idea and we're wasting our time. But because you say so. Because you say so, I'll do it. Do you know how to avoid future regrets in your life? Because you say so. I'll do it. Not because I want to and not because it makes sense to me, not that it feels right. I'll do it because you say so. Because I guarantee you, anyone who ever did anything that Jesus said to them because he said so never regrets it. Amen? I mean, if you're looking for a motto this year, if you want to avoid regret in your life, if you want to avoid the not, if you want to avoid the missed opportunities, then maybe this should be the year of because you say so. I'll let you determine my decisions. I'll let you tell me where to go and I'll do it. I'll do what you asked me to do because you say so. Despite whether I want to or not, despite whether it makes sense to me or not, despite what my expertise tells me or not, because you say so, I'm going to do what you want. Now, that's hard for us, right? I mean, we see this in children, right? I mean, if you really want to torment your kids, sorry, guys, but you guys have probably experienced this, right? You go to your parents and you say, you want to do something, and they say, no. And you say, why? And they say, because I said so. Do you know why they do that? Because their parents did it to them. And now we get to do it to you. We pass on the pain, man. It's like, yeah. Because Luann used to have when we first had kids, she had a nightshirt she wore to bed. Because I'm the mom, that's why. Because you say so. It's not easy to swallow that, though, for us, is it, though? Huh? We want an explanation. We want a reason. We want a guarantee. Better yet, we want a promise. If I do this, is everything going to turn out right? If I do this, am I going to be blessed? I mean, it would have been nice if this story would have unfolded differently and Jesus would have said to Peter, hey, Peter, I know you're tired. I know you've been working all night. I know you guys have been trying really hard. You're exhausted. You just cleaned your nets and you put them away. But I want you to do this. I want you to go and get those nets you just cleaned, and I want you to take me out into the deep and fish, and there's going to be a boatload of fish. There's going to be so many fish, you're going to be blessed to overflowing. We're going to almost sink those ships, Peter. Go get your nets. That'd been nice, wouldn't it? It's not what Jesus does. Jesus wants you to trust him, not like you would trust a vending machine and you put a dollar and a half in and you get a soda out. You expect the soda to come out. He wants you to trust you, not for what you get, but because he said so. Because he's the one that asked. And we look at that and go, wow, well, come on, man. I need to know I've got some benefits here, you know. I need to know it's going to turn out all right. I need to know if I do this that it'll be all right, that things will be good. I want to know that I'll be blessed if I do this. But that's not what it's about. Jesus says, I want you to trust me not for what I do, but I want you to trust me for who I am. See, Peter thinks he thinks he knows fishing better than Jesus. And he's got to trust Jesus even though he thinks he knows better. Peter's going to learn how much Jesus knows. Like, Jesus got an automatic fish finder built in, right? Like, he knows where these fish are. But Peter's going to find out he knows a lot more than that. I think sometimes we forget how much he knows about us. We think he don't know. He doesn't know what we're thinking, what we're doing. We think we're hiding all this stuff from him, and we're not. We can't hide this stuff from him. He knows. He knows you, and he knows me. Jesus knows more about your job than you do. He knows more about your finances than you do. He knows more about parenting than you do. He knows more about marriage than you do. He knows more about you than you do. He knows. And so he asks us to trust him. See, it's not trust. If I think I'm gonna get back something from it, it's trust. If because of who he is. Did you notice that Peter called him master? Now I'm gonna apologize to the booth because I may go off track here. Sorry, just it's okay. But he's master. He didn't call him teacher. He didn't call him mentor. He doesn't call him friend. Although at this point, Jesus had already healed Peter's mother-in-law. Now I don't know if that was a good thing or not. My mother-in-law healed, but anyway. But I'm sorry. But he doesn't call him consultant. He calls him master, boss, the leader, the expert, the one who is large and in charge. And that's what it's about. It's not about what I get, but is he the master? Do I do what you ask me to do because of who you are to me, because of our relationship? You're the expert. You're the master. You're the one that knows. Now, you and I struggle sometimes. We tend to think, oftentimes I think that, that we think that freedom comes from doing whatever we want to do, right? I don't have a boss. That's freedom. And, as long as we can do whatever we want to do, that's real freedom. But here's the thing. When we do whatever we want to do, there's a lot of pressure on us because we're responsible for every consequence of what we do. You know what we call people who decide that they're going to do and live however they want to live? They're going to do whatever they want to do. It doesn't matter how anybody feels, what anybody thinks, or anything else. We call them two-year-olds. My grandson, Braden, show that picture of Braden, will you? Thank you. That's Braden. He got tools for Christmas, and so he's my new handyman. And he turned 2 on December the 23rd. And his favorite word now we discovered while he was at our house for Christmas is no. Me and him sitting at the table. I said, Braden, can Papa give you $100? No. Braden, do you want to have candy for dinner? No. Braden, do you want to have ice cream for dinner? No. Last night they FaceTimed us, and I told Braden, Braden, Papa's going to talk about you in his sermon tomorrow. He said, no. Olivia jumped in, and she said, Papa, talk about me. So I went, well, we laugh. It's cute because as a grandparent, I don't have to live with it very much, okay? That's great. God bless my kids as they raise two-year-olds. But it's really sad to see in a person when it comes to their relationship with God, when God wants to bless us and when God wants us to push out, when he wants us to trust him in some new way, a new direction, a different place in our life, or have faith for him to do something new and fresh in us. And too often we say no like a two-year-old. And you know what we miss? We miss out on eating ice cream for dinner. We miss out on blessings. We miss out on security. We miss out on knowing that he's right there beside us. Because often when we say no, it's hard for us to feel his presence near us. There's no freedom in being bound by what we know and see and have experienced and only what we want to do. You know what I want for my family? I want everything that God wants me to experience. I want my relationship with him to grow in ways that I can't even begin to imagine. I want to see for my family and my marriage, my friendships, my church, that God could take us places and do things in us and through us that we could never even believe today that we could actually do, but we can. You know why? Because he says so. Because when he's in the boat, he makes all the difference. Things change when he's in the boat and I'm listening and doing what he's asking me to do. That's freedom. There's freedom in submission, and there's freedom in trust, and there's freedom in faith. I may not want to do everything he asked me to do. I may not understand. I will tell you, in my life and my years of walking with Christ, there are moments he asked me to do things and it didn't make any sense to me at all. Some of them were actually embarrassing. Some of them I thought, and I imagine Peter felt that way that day, like, man, You know, everybody knew that you couldn't catch fish during the day in the heat of the day. And here he is out there casting his net. What a widget he's going to look like to all the other guys. He'll become the big joke on the dock. And sometimes what God calls you and I to do doesn't make any sense at all. But we do it because he says so. Because you asked me to do it. Is that not what holiness is? Is that not what it means to be holy? Is that I do what he asked me to do because I trust him and I believe. And even when it doesn't make sense to me, and even if I don't know why, and even if it embarrasses me, even if the world doesn't understand it, I do it because you say so. Had a huge impact on Peter. All these fish in the boat. Verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." I mean, just think about this for just a minute. He's in this boat and all these fish are flopping all around him. All these guys are high-fiving each other and celebrating, and the boat's about to sink and they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do? And here's Peter. All this evidence around him that we couldn't make this happen, but look what Jesus did. Lord, I'm a sinner. Man, go away from me. Father, I don't deserve to be in your presence. He repents. By the way, you know what repentance means? To turn about. And so he does this turnabout and he repents and he confesses. And that repentance and that confession unlocks this future, because in verse 10b it says, "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid.'" Simon's more or less confessing, I'm a failure. Man, God, forgive me. And Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats on shore, left everything and followed him. And I think this is what Jesus was waiting for. He was waiting for Peter to come to a confession of an acknowledgement of his own unworthiness and his need for God, his need for Jesus. And in that moment, Jesus led him. Jesus gave him another assignment. They pulled up the boats. They got rid of the nets, and they went fishing for men. They followed him. Because you say so. Because you say so. A bunch of guys who were headed for home, feeling like they'd failed and done everything they could and it was over. Go home. Just go home. All of a sudden, leave that beach with a renewed purpose to go and fish for men. You can just leave that slide up there. I'm sorry, guys. I'm driving them nuts today probably. But I got to thinking during service this morning. It reminds me of another time in Peter's life. Same body of water. 3 years go by from this moment until a time when Peter is with Jesus in the garden and soldiers come to take him away, and Peter, along with all of his other disciples, flee. And while Jesus is on trial, Peter is sitting outside warming himself, and in the midst of that, somebody recognizes that he used to follow Jesus. He was one of those fishers of men. And Peter said, no, not me. I don't know that guy. And then somebody else recognized him, and he said, no, that's not me. I don't follow him. And then another guy recognized him, and Jesus was recognized by three times. Peter rejects that he's even with Jesus. And that night, he made eye contact with Christ, and I can't imagine what a regret he had, right? I failed him. I failed him miserably. They hang Jesus on a cross. He dies, they put him in a tomb. 3 days later, they raise him from the dead, right? And Jesus begins to appear to his disciples. And then one day, Peter and his friends on this same body of water, maybe even in the same boat, they're out fishing. They fish all night. They don't catch anything. And then a man is seen on the shore, and he calls out to them. And he tells them, let down your nets on the right side of the boat. They let down their nets on the right side of the boat, and they begin to pull in a huge number of fish. So much, you see a theme here, begins to sink the boat. And John says, that's Jesus. And Peter, with all his regrets, knowing how much he'd let Jesus down, is overwhelmed. He can't even wait till the boat gets to shore. He jumps over and swims to Jesus. And they have breakfast together. And then Jesus says to him, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I do. And he says, well, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Come on, Lord. Yeah, I love you. Then feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Come on, Jesus. Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. And Jesus restores Peter. Peter, who had failed, Peter, who had let him down, Peter, who had started off on a good path, Peter, who had trusted in him that as long as I've got Jesus with me, I'm okay, and then had abandoned Jesus in his moment of need and had abandoned the way of life that Jesus had for him. He let him down, but here Jesus was again saying, I'm not through with you yet. Despite what you've done, despite how you've let yourself down, Peter, I love you. You love me? Then I got something for you to do. And don't forget that it's just a couple of months later at Pentecost. It's Peter who preaches before all these thousands of people. And it's Peter under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people start to follow Jesus that day. God's not done with you yet. I don't care what regrets you have. I don't care if you've tried and you've failed a gazillion times. Try one more time. Let Jesus get in the boat. Let Jesus get in the boat with you. Depend and trust in on him. Do follow him. What matters? The past doesn't matter this morning. He can take care of the past. What matters is, from this day on, am I going to do what you tell me to do? Am I going to live my life because you say so? You want to have a regret-free 2019? You want to redeem? You want to see the past redeemed in your life? Begin to do because you're the master of my life. You're the boss. You're the expert, not me. And so when it comes to my finances, I'm going to let you lead my finances. I'm going to honor you in my finances, and I'm going to let you tell me how to spend my money. And when it comes to dealing with that porn addiction, you know what? I've tried and I can't. And here it is, 2019. I'm still struggling with it. But because you say so, I'm going to do it because you're going to be in the boat with me. And I'm going to trust in you and depend on you. My marriage, some of you are ready to just abandon your marriage, abandon your kids. Listen this morning. Put Jesus in the boat with you. Put Jesus in the middle of your marriage and see what he can do one more time. Give it one more shot. Because if you'll do what he asks you to do, if you'll follow him, not because it makes sense, not because, you know, you think it's the right thing to do, but because he's master. Make him master, the boss, the Lord of your life. And whatever he asks you to do, do it because he said so. And you know what I believe with all my heart? I believe 2019 could be a grand year. I believe 2019, I can't promise you that if you start tithing in 2019, that your checkbook is going to overflow. What I will tell you is that if you honor God in that way, God's going to meet your needs and take care of you. I believe in your marriage that if you begin to treat your wife or your husband the way that Jesus tells you to treat them, I believe it can make a difference in your marriage and your marriage can be saved. I believe today that the conflict you have with your kids and in your household, that in the midst of all that, if you'll do whatever God tells you to do, if you'll pray and you'll talk to him and you'll ask him and you'll do whatever he says to do, even if it's the most crazy, out of sight, you know, I can't even believe God would even have you do that. I believe it'll happen. I believe with all my heart that if you would forgive that person that God tells you to forgive, it may not make any sense. You may not even want to do it, but if you'll forgive them, who knows what God could do? See, when he's in the boat and he's in charge, what about our church? You know what I believe God's desire is? That every empty seat here this morning have a soul in it who needs to hear about Jesus, who needs to know that God loves them, who needs to know that despite everything they've done, God's still standing there with his arms open. Listen, if he did it for Peter, why not you? Why not them? Why not your neighbors? Why not your friends? Why not your family? But we got to do what he says to do. So let me ask you something this morning. Is there a situation, a circumstance in your life that you've been frustrated with, a place where you felt like you're about ready to quit? Where you need God, I need you to tell me. David said this in Psalm 139. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, sometimes we don't know what's wrong with us. We think we do, but we don't know. And what we got to do is we got to say, God, what do you need me to do? That's what David was saying. Look inside me. Any place where I'm anxious, any place where I'm hurting, any place, show me, Lord, and lead me in the way everlasting. Are you willing to let him lead you? In just a minute, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead. We bow our heads this morning for a minute. Would you, sitting there in your seat this morning, would you just open up your palms, your hands, there in your lap? Maybe this morning you're not a follower of Jesus. Maybe this morning you've been living your whole life the way that you want to, and maybe this morning, I don't know whether things are going well or not. I don't know whether you're struggling or not. But maybe this morning in this message, God has spoken to you, and you really, the Spirit speaking in your life is calling you and drawing you to giving your heart and life to him today. Maybe just put your life in your hands this morning and say, God, here it is. Like that song this morning we sang, just take it all. I surrender my life to you. I want what Jesus did on the cross to count for me. And it doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter how much you've failed. None of that matters this morning. What matters is making him the master. Will you put your hands, your life in your hands and offer it to him? Maybe this morning you've got a problem, a circumstance, a situation. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your family. You just put them in your hand this morning and say, God, I've tried every which way I know. I've fished all night, and I can't fix this. I can't fix this, and I need you to. God, here it is. Will you take it? May it be as you've said, because you tell me to. I'm giving it to you. You're the expert. I'm not. I can't, but you can, Master. Here it is. Maybe this morning there's some hurt. There's somebody you've not forgiven. There's some pain in your life. There's some jealousy. There's something you're holding against someone. Maybe there's an addiction this morning. Would you just put that in your hands today and say, God, here it is. Lord, we want you to be the master of our lives. So, Father, we pray, would you lead and guide and direct us? We give ourselves to you today. I pray for that one who asks forgiveness today, who makes that turnabout and says, I'm not going to be the expert in my life. I'm going to make God the expert in my life, and I want what Jesus did on the cross to count for me. Forgive me. Oh, God, forgive. May they feel your cleansing power in their life. Lord, for that one who gives you today a problem, a situation, a circumstance, a relationship, Lord, today would you bring healing to our marriages and to our finances and to our homes, to our relationships with one another? God, for that one who says, I've got this addiction, I've got this jealousy, I've got this place of unforgiveness, God, Master, today, help me. Help me today. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. I'll do it because I'm doing a turnabout this morning. I'm not trying to manage it. I'm going to let you manage it in my life. God, would you move? I pray right now that burdens would be lifted. I pray right now as we forgive that there will be a heaviness that will be taken off our hearts. I pray right now as we give you our addictions, there'll be freedom, a release of your power in our life that will enable us this week to be everything that Jesus died on the cross for us to be and to live in the freedom that he died to give us. Father, Lord, in our life, please, will you help us to live our lives this week in the ways that you tell us because you say so. You are my master. You are my Lord. And I give you my life. I give you my heart today. I am yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want to tell you something, and then we're going to do announcements, and we're going to take the offering in just a minute. And if you leave during this time, you have to do double tithe, okay? So, you know what I want to encourage you to do this week? Be who he says that you are. Don't believe the lies of the enemy, okay? Don't believe the lies of who he says you are. You live into who he says you are. And this week can be different. And after service today, if you'd like to talk, I'd be more than glad to talk to you. If you need help with anything or more explanation or just need me to be praying for you, let me know. I'll be at the back door here in a few minutes.